Hey, besties.
Welcome to the BFF Bookcast.
We're your hosts, Teresa and Katie.
Before we jump in, we just want to remind everyone that what we discuss are our own thoughts and opinions. Just remember, we are here to have a good time.
And as always, please check trigger warnings before reading any books we will be discussing. And beware, we curse like the Bat Boys probably do during their annual snowball fight. Hey, Katie.
Hey, Teresa Marie.
How you doing?
Another day in fucking paradise over here.
It's honestly so weird doing this virtually again.
I know.
But I was like, we haven't done it virtually in so long.
Literally since I think I lived in Mattawan.
Yeah. So over a year. And the microphones, I forgot how they pick up every little sound. So I can hear my neighbor's dog barking and them mowing the lawn right now.
That Tom literally looked at me and goes, I have to bring the baby downstairs. Because if he even makes a peep, you're just going to hear it and then be like.
Yeah. Anyway, motherhood and moving. So we're going to do this virtually. Please bear with us because one of us will probably lose Wi-Fi at some point. Isn't that always how it happens?
It is always how it happens.
But we're talking about The Wedding People. And I believe the author, how you pronounce her last name is. So Alison Espach. I'm going to spell it in case you guys are curious and you haven't read it. It's E-S-P-A-C-H. So Espach or Espach, if it's a hard C-H, I don't know. But we both did the audio for it. And obviously I didn't. Do you hear screaming?
Okay, I got it now. I'm just looking at you're so loud. Plus, I'm watching Leah, and of course.
Oh, that's the screaming! I'm like, I just hear screaming.
It's my kid. It's one of my kids. Okay, he's going back down. Thank God.
Okay. Anyway, we both did the audio for this book, and I don't want to. Obviously, we didn't eyeball read it, but I think the best way to do it is via audio. The narrator was amazing.
I couldn't agree more. I don't know. Okay. I'm going to preface it by this. Yes, I think the narrator did a phenomenal job. I personally have never experienced depression. However, I did this book 2 weeks postpartum and I started in the middle of the fucking night. Now, if you have postpartum, which I would probably go on a limb and say most women do tend to experience some sort of postpartum. The nighttime is when mine hits. So starting yep. this book and going right off the bank talking about suicide and killing yourself, I literally sat there and I was like, I think if I was reading this, I would be a little unwell.
Yeah. No, I definitely think that.
You could put your own spin on how you're interpreting this. And she's not making, it's a serious book. And I think the narrator does a really nice job of being serious without being somber.
Mm-hmm.
But still bringing, light to what people can experience.
Yeah. And I think she did a good job being serious when it called for it. And then a really good job at bringing a lot of humor to the story.
Yes.
Because I do think that people in general, even people who are depressed, still can find humor in life. I think the big part of the book was that she was depressed, but she also wanted to live. And through this week long wedding that she kind of finds herself in, she refines her purpose. And even though her life doesn't look like the way she thought it would, she's rediscovering who she is and what she maybe wants from life.
Yeah, it's a big self-discovery. But again, not too much where it's what am I reading? It's I don't know. It gives you hope.
Yeah. And it's a very funny book. Yes. Even when she's talking about killing herself and she's telling
a dark
Lila, I'm going to kill myself. And the bride's all, it's my wedding. Can you wait 6 days and kill yourself after the wedding? It's done with humor. It's very dark and witty in a way. And even just like the side characters, like Juice and the dead plastic robot dog or whatever it was. They're just, and they do the memorial service for it, but it's funny because it's not a real dog. And it's kind of ridiculous, but they're, you know, she's mourning the loss of her marriage, like the loss of the life that she thought that she would have, the loss of her cat, but it's done in a way that is like full of humor.
Yes. And like same thing with like Juice to like the dog like thing. I was like, again, it's funny, but she's, the reason why she's so upset is because it was given to her by her mom and her mom passed away. So it's like, you have all these thoughts. I also, I'm like going to jump. I can't believe like my necklace is so tight right now, which is, you know, the ending.
Yeah.
I like that it was very, I like, it's a happy ending because she's going to, she's living. She's alive.
Yeah.
She chose to not go through with killing herself. I actually can't even believe she ended up taking the cat pills. Like, I thought for sure we were going to, like, not have a moment, but she did. And then she went into the bathroom and stuck her finger down her throat, essentially, to relieve herself of said
things.
And it was, like, interesting, like, in the moments to kind of, like, get her shit, like, her thought process through it. Like, how she was basically, like, okay, like, I'm starting to get drowsy. Like, it's coming. And then she was, like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want this. Like, holy shit. Like, So, like, I think like, that was cool. But, like, I liked how at the end, I thought for sure she, I was like, okay, the husband's here. Like, we're banging the husband. If she goes back. But I thought it was so cool how, like, the husband kind of, like, expected. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. I figured you weren't going to come back. Like, I feel like he, like, saw his wife and was like, okay, this is not the same woman that I had left originally.
Yeah. I like that they got that closure, the two of them. Because yes, her husband, I think, did like a terrible thing, but I don't even think Phoebe really resents him for it.
No.
You should obviously never cheat on a partner, and he like leaves his wife, and of course it's terrible, but I also can't imagine what it feels like living with somebody who is like very depressed like that. And like, there's no communication. They're basically living like separate lives. And just like he's at fault for a lot of things in their marriage going wrong, so is she. And yes, maybe what he did was like obviously worse than just like her being depressed and him not knowing how to deal with that. And like seeking, I guess, comfort in somebody else who was going through a similar thing with her spouse. Like, obviously not great, but I think Phoebe, like, reflectively, like, looking back, was like, okay, like, I used to love this man. I know how he is. I understand him as a person. And I think that they just got closure, which I think helped her move on more.
Yeah, I think it almost showed her, too, like, you've been with this man for so long. It's all you ever knew. You had these mm-hmm. moments, like, the infertility journeys, like, all those things that were occurring during your marriage. But I think it almost showed her that, like, you weren't mourning the fact that you lost him. It was
right.
Like something was changing in your life. Like when you are with someone for a long period of time, it's comfort, it's consistency, it's what you know. And like you do kind of start finding like you were saying, like they're living their own lives. So like you kind of like paved this way for you. So it's when you know just that, it is scary to kind of like
step
outside. And of course, like then you become embarrassed because someone did end up cheating on you.
Mm-hmm.
So you feel like whatever, you have all these mixed emotions. So I feel like in the end, it was more of like a, though not spelled out this way, like I interpreted more of it as like, as she was just mourning the fact that like things were going to be different and she
like
do something different for herself now.
Right. Like, I don't think she was, I think like the marriage was over before any of the cheating happened. And like she's, when you're reading it and she's kind of going like back in time and thinking about things, like it's very obvious the marriage was over. I think it's more like mourning the loss of the life that you thought you were going to have with a person. And she says it too, like that she, like when they first got married, she was like madly in love. Like she was like, there's no way anybody can like love each other more than we do. And they had this amazing marriage and obviously things fell apart. And like the whole infertility thing, I feel like for me, I really liked how they did it, which obviously her infertility journey is like a lot different than mine, but makes me more appreciative to have a husband who is so supportive. Because I was like, that must really be like, I couldn't imagine being in her shoes, going through something and then having a partner who's just like not really there for her and like just not, I think he didn't know how to deal with it.
Yes. And like, don't, and I'm not saying that like he can't have feelings to, like for the fact that he's like mourning what can't happen for him right now either. Like not placing blame on her. Like, please don't take it that way. It's just more of like a, just because it's her body that is not able to carry, does it, it's still reflecting on him as well. Like there are you, right? Like you're not sitting here thinking, well, okay, well, never mind. I'm going to get rid of you and find somebody else. Like that's not what you go through. Like your husband and wife, you're doing this together. So like, yes, he's dealing with his own sorts of issues, but yeah, like the communication was terrible.
So, yeah.
I mean, even from like, I mean, again, completely different, but like even during like a postpartum journey, I'm like, I was like correlating it back to that. Like, wow, thank God. Like Tom does ask me like, how am I doing? Like, are you okay? Like, did I do, like if I started crying for no reason, did I do something to piss you off or make you sad or like set off these emotions? Or is it just your hormones shedding and you're just, your tears are shedding? Like what, like tell me what it is so I can be of assistance.
Right.
I don't have that communication, but I did like how like, I, oh my God, it was like one of those books where like I almost didn't mind the night feedings because I was like, oh, I get to listen right now.
Yeah.
But I finished at 3 a.m. Not because I was listening around the clock. It just happened that that was the feeding and that's when I finished the book. But like I sat there in a pitch dark room and I was like, I feel like the author really leaves a lot of stuff kind of like open-ended. Like same thing with like the parting of the ways of husband and wife, right? Like you don't know if he's going back to whatever her name is.
Mia,
thank you. Look at you with the name.
I know.
Right at the ready. Wow, I'm so impressed. But you know what I mean? Like I feel like she kinda like, even the way like the story ends, like she kind of parts ways with Gary, but like, does she part ways with Gary? Same with Lila. Like they become like the best of friends for these past 6 days. They're the most honest with each other they've been with anybody else in their life. And like, yes, Lila's now like licking her wounds in Canada and like kind of refocusing and shifting her whatever. But like, are they going to like continue communicating? Like it's so open-ended.
I love that. I love that, that they left it up for interpretation, right? Like in my mind, like, she goes back to St. Louis, gets all of her things. Mm-hmm. She moves up back up to Rhode Island. She's like the caretaker. Yeah. While she's at the house caretaking, she's focusing on herself. She's writing. She's like going to therapy and growing. She reconnects with Gary like months down the line and they start dating and like Lila and Jim are dating.
Yes. Lila and Jim in my mind are dating. Like I feel like Lila went to Canada, definitely like was having a pity party moment because that's like such a Lila move. And then was like, wait, hold on, I'm a badass bitch. And I'm going to get my shit together. And then then reflects like, oh, wait, Jim was saying all these things. I'm going to come back. There's a part of me that feels like the girls do talk again.
Yeah.
At the same time, too, there's another part of me that's like, maybe for that those 6 days, you met that person for a reason. Like, they got you through what you need to get through. And like, you know what I mean? And then, I don't know. Like, there's a part of me that's like,
no,
they reconnected. And then there's another part where it's like, but did they? Like, did they find each other at that exact moment? Because that's what life needed for each of them.
Right.
And then they just kind of like, here we go.
Honestly, though, like, that's so, like, life, though. Like, sometimes, like, people come into your life and, like, you have, it can be, like, one night or, like, I don't know, a short amount of time. And they're, like, just meant to be in your life for, like, that amount of time. And then you grow apart or whatever and like you just don't speak anymore, but like there's no reason otherwise to not be friends. I don't know, there's friends that I had like growing up that I'm like, oh, we just grew apart, but I still like think so fondly of them, or when I see them I'm like, oh my God, and I'm so happy to see them, but we just don't really speak otherwise. And like they really did save each other. Like Lila, yeah, obviously she wasn't suicidal, but she was also dealing with her own version of depression after her father's death, and like kind of trying to like prove a point by marrying Gary. Gary's going through his own thing, you know, the loss of his wife. I feel like everybody was like, it like kind of like in the weeds, and they all like kind of helped each other climb out of like this like dark pit of despair.
Yeah.
But in like a very funny way.
Yes. Like there was humor the whole time. But yeah, like they were all like every one of those people that you met in the story needed to meet.
Yeah.
I mean, even on like The Bachelorette, like all of her friends, like, and when Phoebe was like kind of like seeing everyone for like who they are and how Lilo is so very different with all of her friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like she puts, I mean, I know a lot of people do this also, myself included. Like I wear a different, I don't want to call it a different mask, but like you get like certain doses of
yeah.
for certain groups of people, right? Like a lot of people tend to do that. Like you see 150% of Katie, whereas like other people might only get like 80% of Katie.
Which is just like normal human relationship.
Correct. But I feel like with Lila, it was a lot less. Like she got with her best friends, quote unquote best friends, and it was like this shell of Lila.
Mm-hmm.
But then you hear all of her friends have these issues too. It was, yeah, like everyone needed each other. They needed bluntness. They needed...
Yeah.
It was just so interesting. It was that book was probably, or I should say audiobook, between that book and, oh my God, The Unmaking of June Farrow,
mm-hmm.
two favorite audiobooks of 2024.
I was going to say, I loved this on audio. I think that I would have loved it if I read it.
Yeah.
But I think the narrator just like, I wonder how I would have interpreted the book if the narrator like didn't, if I was reading it versus the narrator like infecting the book with like whatever emotion was going on at the time.
It makes me wonder, like did she speak to the author? Because like the author was put it, you know what I mean, like when you're writing something,
yeah,
you put it, you in your mind as you're writing it, like or saying it the way you want to say it. And it can obviously always be misinterpreted or interpreted a different way.
Mm-hmm.
But I do wonder for like this kind of a book, like was there a communication between the two? Because she, to me, I was like, this was spot on. But you're right. Like if I was reading this, it would have still been, I think, a 5-star read for me.
Yeah.
But I feel like it would have been a heavier read for me.
Yes.
And I think it's just the sheer fact that like of what I'm going through with my
hormones. Right. No, I went on TikTok because I was like, I want to see like what other people, after I finished, I was like, what are other people saying about it?
Yeah.
And most, I mean, it's mostly really good reviews. Like I think on Goodreads right now, it's like so sitting.
Good. I went to.
It's a 4.27 and it has 21,000 ratings. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, so this is being received very well, but I did see like somebody who was reading it, they DNF'd it and they're like, it's just too depressing for me. And I was like, see, by like 150 pages in, or like, I guess halfway through the audiobook, I didn't think it was that depressing anymore at that point. Like they were still, you know, Phoebe was still going through things and things, you know, there was obviously a lot of talk of like grief and mourning, but I thought it was at that point, like more light, I don't want to say lighthearted, but in a way lighthearted at that point. So I wonder.
She was taking the pills, serious moment.
Yeah.
Serious moment. But I still didn't find it to be like, you're talking to someone who, again, was listening mm-hmm. to this at 2 weeks postpartum. I didn't shed a tear. Like, I was like, you know,
no,
there was just like a weird lightness to a very heavy situation. I like, it's so hard to explain. I hope whoever is listening has read it.
I'm trying to relate it. I'm trying to like relate it to like a movie. It's a dark comedy. Like, I'm trying to like think of like a dark comedy movie. It's not anything like American Beauty with Kevin Spacey, but it's like that thing where it's like, this movie's kind of serious, but it's also like comedic in ways. And it's like, is it supposed to be fun? Are we supposed to be finding it funny that she took her cat's like painkillers to kill herself? Or are we supposed to be like, oh, this is serious. This woman is so depressed. She wants to die. But it is fun. Like, it's not funny to take pills to kill yourself, but it's funny when you're like, when you know the character and you're like, she took her cat's painkillers, her cat who like they called their like psych, there's like backstory to it where it like adds levity to the moment that it's okay to find it a little funny. I think this is very dark comedy in some, yeah, in like a lot of ways
in that way. Yes.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Like what you're saying, not funny to do that,
but no.
Like the whole, it's written that way to like,
right. Like we're not trying to like, you know, talk about suicide or thoughts of suicide in like a way that isn't super serious. It's just the way that the book is written. I think it's supposed to add a little bit of levity to the situation. And it's not even just the suicide portion of it. It's also, you know, Lila's father dying. Mm-hmm. They're talking about this. This man dies. And it's very funny the way that they're talking about it.
Even and even her infertility. And you have a leg to stand on with this one more than anybody. Yeah. Like, it's written to be a serious topic, but humorous in nature.
And again, like, I mean, I know not everybody is like this. Like, I'm very much like this. I think you are too. When like things are sad or like bad things happen, humor is like my first go-to.
Same.
Like my first go-to all the time is humor. Like I will poke fun at myself. When my dad was dying, I was like the first person to be like, like, LOL. Like we like made jokes. I mean, we were tailgating in the parking lot at the funeral home. Like that's just how my family deals with things. It's not the first or the last funeral that we've tailgated in my family. So if you ever want a good time, come to the funeral home.
Funerals, because they're a hoot.
We got coolers. We got coolers in the back. Yeah, like, so it's not to, you know, like, talk down on these topics. They're obviously death and mourning and suicide are obviously very heavy topics. It's just that the way that the author wrote it brings those heavier topics to light. And I think it's more palatable when you are reading about something that's heavier to have some levity because...
But she wrote it in a way too, and again, like I've never had depression.
No.
I know people who severely suffer from depression. But I feel like you also learn something with it, right? Like I feel like I was like, oh, like I don't know, like I like books like that too. Like you always want to be open to what other people are going through because a lot of people are depressed behind closed doors. You'll never under like most people like when you hear about certain people unfortunately passing due to taking their own lives, most people are like, wait, what? Like you,
they're always like, oh, but he was so funny or she was always so happy. Yeah.
So like when you're suffering in silence, I don't know. Like, I feel like I like remember like listening to a couple parts and I was like, oh, like,
yeah,
I don't know. It was just like an eye opener. Right. But again, like she wrote in a way where you're learning, you're understanding, you're in the moment. Like it's a very serious situation, but she, that takes skill.
It really does. And like,
you could fuck that up.
And if suicide is something that's like triggering to you to read about, it is a small portion of the book. It happens like in the beginning. And then the rest of the book is kind of more like her journey and like rediscovery. So like, it's not like the whole book is this like, is all about the suicide. But basically what Phoebe does is her husband leaves her for her friend. And she goes back to work after COVID and the first people she see are her husband and her friend or her ex-husband and her friend together in like the teacher's lounge, basically. They're all professors at a college. And when she goes home that night, her cat who's been sick, the cat that she bought with her husband is dead. And she just kind of like leaves. Like she doesn't pack a bag. She doesn't nothing. She puts on this dress that she never wore that she bought for like an event. Didn't feel like it was like whatever. It's a whole thing. And she leaves and she just goes to Rhode Island because this was a resort she wanted or a hotel she wanted to go to with her husband and they didn't go. And she was like, I'm going to go there and I'm going to kill myself. And it's going to show him basically. Yeah. And then she runs into Lila, who's the bride, and there's this wedding and everybody who's staying at this hotel is there for the wedding. She should not have gotten a room. They had this one room left. They accidentally booked it to somebody who wasn't there for the wedding. And she runs into the bride, like I said, and they basically, she's just like, the bride's like, wait, who are you? You're not here for the wedding. She's like, no, I'm here to kill myself. And then the bride basically is like, you can't, like, won't let her do it.
Yeah. Like, or if you're going to, can you just like wait?
Until, yeah. Like, well, that was it. She was like, I don't care if you do, just can you wait 6 days?
Yeah. Like, just let us get out of here. But like, I think that's what she needed.
Yeah.
Like, it helps kind of bring out like the bluntness, and, like what you were both going. I don't know. It was just like, it was
really funny. It was funny. And it was meant to be funny. So it's okay. Like, it's okay that we're laughing at it. Having
fun at her about it. Like, I mean, don't, like, there are moments where Phoebe's like, you know, I'm here, like, I'm depressed, right? Like, you shouldn't be saying these things to, like, a depressed person. So again, like, rounding back with, like, serious moments. But, like, mm-hmm. yeah, like, it was definitely, it was just really fucking good. It was a really, I was, I was a little nervous at first when I first started. I was like, oh.
Yeah, same. I didn't. I was like, this is not what I thought it was going to be about. And then it was just like nice. She's like a third. I think she's 38 or 39, Phoebe, the main character. And I'll be 36 at the end of the year. So like also just like thinking about it, like, okay, there's this like, you know, late 30s. And it's still not too late to reinvent yourself if like you have to. And it's never too late to like start being honest with the people in your lives. Yeah. And it's never too late. Like you can, it's like, it's a very hopeful story at the end of it. It really is. No, and like,
you're so right.
Which we did it on audio. So I was like looking up quotes cause you guys know how I love this, but one of the quotes that I really liked was, life is strange, always thinking this one thing is going to make you happy because then you get it and then maybe you're not as happy as you imagined you would be. Because every day is just like every day. Like the happiness becomes so big you have no choice but to live inside of it until you can no longer see it or feel it. And then you start to fixate on something else. So there's always that like, oh, if I just have more money, I'll be happy. Or if I just have this, I'll be happy. And then you get it and maybe you're underwhelmed by the feeling that you thought you were going to have, or maybe you are really happy, but then you become content in that feeling. So like, okay, well, what's the next thing that's going to make me happy? And it's like kind of always chasing this high instead of like being in the moment when you can be.
100%. I mean, I will stand by this. I think money does.
I knew.
A lot of my issues could be fixed with a hell of a lot more money.
Money doesn't buy happiness, but it definitely does help.
Yes, correct.
A lot.
However, but you're correct. Like, I can't tell you how many times that, like, I would be like, if I just got another raise and I made X, it would, like, help tremendously. And I'd get there and I'd be like, oh my God, this is great. And then I'd be like, okay, so if I only make a little bit more, like, it could help with. It's like somehow you fall back into it. You're right. Like it's just this ongoing circle.
Yeah.
Like money might not buy you happiness. It might solve a lot of your issues that it will make you happy in the end. But you're right. Like sometimes I think that I think you and I had this epiphany a couple years ago because we're both in our, I mean, you're mid 30s. I'm not there just yet.
Okay.
But I feel like, and you'll probably attest to this too. Like we live in this world now, especially where like you have to strive for more. You should never be complacent in like where you are. It should always be more, more, more. And especially as a female now, like you are like, why aren't you working? Why aren't you working up that corporate ladder? Why aren't you becoming a badass bitch? So it's like, I feel like when we were younger, we were like, you're like tunnel vision, like my hands over my eyes look like binoculars. Your tunnel vision to be like, I need a fast track or like to be on a track to making the most amount of money I can possible to being the breadwinner of the family. And I need to have some crazy fucking big ass title and work 8 million bajillion quadrillion hours. And you know what? Hey, if that's what you want to do, knock your socks off.
Right.
I'm happy for you. But I feel like I personally had an epiphany. I'm not mathing right now, but like some odd years ago where I was like, that is not what I fucking want. Like, yes, would I love the paychecks? Correct. Would they solve a lot of my problems? Absolutely. But like mentally, I was like,
no,
girl, we don't need, no. Like this is not, no. And so like, even yes, I was younger, but like, you're right. Like there's hope always. Like not that I was reinventing myself. Like, yes, I did have a career switch, but like, it's okay. Like you don't have to do what you thought you were going to set out to do. And it's going to be all right. And like, I end up like, because I hate when also people tell you too, like the grass isn't always greener. Cause that is true too.
But
like, maybe I'm not looking for the green grass. Maybe I'm looking for just like a different patch of grass.
Yeah. There's this
sunnier somewhere than like the shady part of the grass that I'm in right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cause I can't stand that either. Like, it's like, damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? Like,
yeah.
You don't want to be this person making all this money, being like this career Barbie kind of a girl. Well, have fun finding something else that like is going to do X, Y, and Z. Well, it's like, well, you don't know what I want. So.
No, there's this mentality I feel like with people our age or just, I don't know. I feel like it's a very, I don't think Gen Z is very much like this, but I feel like our generation is, I don't know, again, the older generation definitely, and I think our parents put in our head, there's like always this like hustle mentality. Like, you have to be doing this and this and this, and you're only successful if you're doing this or making this much. Or yeah, like maybe you like your job and you've been there for like 10 years and you're very stagnant and you're not really moving up, but you're like happy. It's like, oh, well, like you should be looking for something more, or you should be doing something more. Like, not everything needs to be this like rat race to the top.
Yeah.
Sometimes just like success just means being happy. Success doesn't have to mean making like $500,000 a year or being a CEO or being a boss. Like, success can look different to so many different people. Like, for you, success can be like
waking up in the morning,
right?
Your bed. Like,
right,
getting through like your daily chores, putting food on your table for your family and your kids, like being a great stay-at-home mom, like a
right
homemaker, like I don't know, like smiling and brushing your teeth. Like, there's different levels of success for everyone. Like, it doesn't mean you're right. Like, and I just don't think, I think our generation definitely suffers the most from it personally.
Yeah, no, I definitely think so.
I see all the time. Everyone that I know in our age group is the same.
Same. That's what I'm saying. I feel like it's very, like, success is different for every person. And I think, you know, just find what's going to make you, it might not make you the most happy, but find what's going to make you happy in some way. Honestly, like, for me, I'm like, I don't know. Work is never going to make me happy. So like, I don't care what I'm doing at this point. Like, I would rather just be happy in my personal life. So like, I put more focus on that. But if you really want to have a certain job, work for it. And if that'll make you happy, do it. And if you want to, like, I don't know, like sit in the subways and play the guitar all day and that makes you happy, then do it.
Like, we
knock your fucking socks off.
We have a mutual friend between the two of us. We will not say names, but like, she's very focused on like her career.
Mm-hmm.
She has moved multiple locations to do it. And like, that's fucking amazing because that's what she wants to do.
Right.
Not my cup of tea. Like, I am not chasing a title by moving to all these various states. Like, it's not what I want to do. Like, I ended up taking a pay cut when I like switched jobs. Like, I'm very, though, yes, like that hurts in a financial standpoint. Because thank you, student loans, because we had to all go to college and get super serious higher education degrees. But you know what I mean? But like, I'm happier mentally, even though like someone might look at that and be like, that's not what I would do. Like, that's okay. That's what I would do though. So
nobody can tell you what you should be happy or unhappy about in your own life. And like,
and change is scary. So that's why people, I feel like, sometimes don't do it. And I think that's what Phoebe was dealing with also, is like, you're afraid to change. Like, she was afraid to even like, not that she was vocalizing this, but like, she kept calling her husband, but like, he wasn't her husband. But that's just like, and I think, I feel like she also just wanted to be angry at something and just,
yeah,
like, she didn't know what else to do until like, she started to get through this week and like, start to find herself and like, wasn't afraid to be vocal. And I will say, sometimes being around, which is scary, like, and I'm the first to admit that I don't mind change. I think I handle change very well. My anxiety, I guess you can call it, with this, like, I don't want to say don't do well, but like, being in like a stranger or strange situation or different situation that I haven't been in before, like a place I've never been in before, tends to make me more of like a reserved individual. Cause I'm like, I'm scoping everything out. But I feel like for a lot of people, it allows them to be completely 100% them.
Yeah.
Like, am I going to see these people again? Am I not? Like, you don't know me. Like, that. So it's like, you can kind of like reinvent yourself to be
who
you want to be. And I feel like Phoebe didn't realize she was doing that, but like was doing that. Like, it was taking full advantage of the fact that like, who are these fucking people? Like, I'm not going to see you again. So like, here it is. Like, this is me.
And like, too, like, you know, Phoebe was there and like, yes, all those people were like helping her, but she was helping everybody she came in contact with. She was like helping. Like, first it was Lila kind of coming to the realization this isn't what she wants and whatever, that whole thing. And then Juice, like, kind of like, I mean, she kind of stepped in as like a mother figure. You know, she like was helping get, like, she literally, everybody she talked to, she had these like amazing interactions with.
Yeah.
And I forget Gary's sister's name.
It's something with an M.
I was going to say, I'm like thinking Mallory, but I don't know if that's right.
Like Moira, but it's not. Like, it was something weird. Marlo? Marlo.
Okay.
Marlo.
So
I'm wrong.
It's something like that. And like, so Gary's sister is there. She had an affair. She cheated on her husband. So you kind of get this like juxtaposition of like what Phoebe's kind of situation was. And then somebody who's like cheated, but then is now working on her marriage with her husband, like with her husband, like they're choosing to stay together and kind of like work through that. And they're in therapy together. And she has all this guilt and she thinks that Phoebe hates her because Phoebe's like looking at, cause she thinks Phoebe's looking at her as if she's like the other woman or she's this whole thing. And Phoebe's like, she's so mature, honestly. Like when she ever comes, she's like, no, like you're not my husband, like whatever. And I think she,
you're not my husband.
Like, yeah. And like, she was like, and also he left me, like you're working to stay. It, you know, the situations are completely different, but I think like Gary's sister really needed somebody to kind of tell her like, it's okay that you fucked up. Yes. And like, you're not like, you did a bad thing, but you're not a bad person. I think she like needed that. And it happened to come from a stranger that she met a few days ago, but I think it helped her.
Yes. Cause like Phoebe could have easily just looked at her and be like, no, you're a fucking piece of shit. Like you cheated. Yeah. Like this is what happened to me. But like, you're right. Like, I think you said it perfectly. Like bad. Just because you do something bad doesn't necessarily mean you're a bad person.
Yeah. Like nobody died.
Nobody died.
You didn't like
kill anybody.
Yeah. You didn't kick a dog. I mean, yeah, cheating's not good, obviously. And like, I would kill anybody. Like, if Tom ever cheated on you, I would murder him and cut his head off. But like, 100%. This is fiction, so I can say not because you did a bad thing doesn't make you a bad person. And that's honestly just true in general. I mean, correct. Minus the dog kicking and the murder.
If you kick a dog, then you are a terrible human being.
There are like three things: animal abuse, murder, and like child abuse.
Children.
Off limits.
Eye for an eye, man. Let me just say it like that.
But you know what I mean? Like, I don't mean those people when I say you do something bad, you're not a bad person. Those people are bad people.
Those people are fucking terrible people. Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not giving them passes.
Don't take it so literally, please.
I can just picture somebody being like, well, what about pedophiles? I'd be like, they obviously don't fall into the list that I'm talking about.
We're just talking about the wedding people.
we're just talking about the wedding people, you guys.
The fictional book we read.
Not Marilyn Manson.
Not Marilyn Manson.
Right? No. Well, no. Charles. But probably not Marilyn either.
No. Delusional. 7:30. It's 8 o'clock at night.
I was gonna say we normally do these earlier. This is like almost bedtime.
This is like because I have two children now, Leah is very like scheduled in terms of her bedtime. I have not mastered because I have a newborn, and yes, they eat every 3 hours, but those every 3 hours do change. I haven't like mastered the, like I was feeding Liam as Tom was trying to get Leah ready for bed. So it was just like one of those like convoluted, everything overlapped. And I was like, this is not how I planned this, but I guess this is how it's just going to happen tonight.
I so love that though for you.
We haven't mastered anything yet over here in this household. It's a fucking shit show.
It's okay. It's whatever. But yeah, I gave it 5 stars. I know Katie did.
5 stars.
Like, amazing. So next week we'll do a spilling the tea on the 4th. The 11th, I don't know what we're going to do yet. The 18th, we have an interview with Tegan Hunter. Her newest book is coming out on the 12th. It's Delayed Penalty. It's book 3 in the Seattle Serpents series. So stay tuned for that. And then, honestly, I think we have another interview in September. Just stay tuned.
Just stay tuned. We're going to stay tuned, too.
I was like, we're staying tuned. We're kind of figuring it out as we go with Katie with the kids right now, too. So stay tuned. That's all we can say.
You will be hearing our voices, though.
You will be hearing us. It just, check the Instagram. If you're like, hey, they haven't posted, there's probably an update somewhere.
Somewhere.
Anyway. Katie Jean, can you send us out?
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.